I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name's Teddy Coward. I'm from Southwest London, and you're listening to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is, how do you know when she's the one? Okay, here comes the show. And remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dame Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer,
hello,
and a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we are talking everything from...
We are talking everything from Teddy from West London's question, how do you know when she's the one? Dane, how do you know when she's the one?
I mean... Howard, you probably ask this question better than me. If I knew who was the one, I probably would have her by now. So
I don't know. I think the world, the planets align. There's more than one way of knowing when she's the one.
There's more than one way. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
The alignment of what's happening in your life, what's happening in her life or his life, or whatever mix of relationships you could be having. And then, those two things, life finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum once said in Jurassic Park.
I feel like the one is also somebody who, irrespective of what you're doing, they make any experience just marginally better or more bearable, and someone who you can eat with. I feel that's a big part of the one.
Key.
Is someone who you can dine with, fine dining, but someone who you can be sitting in a car park eating McDonald's with. We're both holding the two sauces to balance for the nuggets.
Yeah.
I think that's how you know you're with the one.
Yeah, good point.
But again, as I say, you probably know better than me.
No, it's a really valid addition. And look, good luck finding the one, Teddy. And suffice to say, on this podcast, we ask and answer all the questions, don't we, Dane?
Absolutely. No question is too lonely or too romantic. And if you do like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify, and you'll never miss an episode. Or you can subscribe to us on Acast, the world's biggest podcast network, where you can hear all of our very special questions being answered by our very special guest. When it comes to podcasts, we are the one. With that being said, on today's show is a British stand-up comedian. He has built his reputation playing the London comedy circuit, as well as engaging fans on social media with his stories, shenanigans, and sketches. He has presented content for the likes of Prep Protect, Unilad, and SBTV, and has performed support slots alongside big names such as Eddie Griffin and Dave Chappelle, not to mention having his own show recording on Amazon, which has been recorded at the O2. He is also a fellow native of Grenada by way of West London as well, and has been a mainstay on the black comedy circuit, where he has performed alongside titans such as Richard Blackwood, Eddie Nesta. The list is just endless. And most importantly, very recently, he becomes the first black Briton to win Britain's Got Talent. Please welcome to the show, before he completely blows, man like Axel Blake. Indeed, if there was ever a time to today's the day. And also, I would leave out as well, is that on his journey, as well as performing all over the world and in various places, I also recall him even taking time while working hard, pursuing his comedy career, but also supporting his family, to always recall this guy leaving his work from Waitrose and coming straight down to Cotton's to spit bars as well.
And I remember that, man.
And that's culminated with, being the first black British person to win Britain's Got Talent, man. Axel, what's happening, bro? First of all, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. And that's a question that's happened, been asked to me many times over the past few days. And it changes. The first day was, I didn't have words. The next day after sleeping on it, it was like, wow, this really happened. The third day is like, wow, some real doors have been kicked down.
Mm.
And that day I mentioned, yesterday I mentioned my tour, because I've always said no time. And
that's what's
now
up.
Now my brain's caught up.
But not just work-wise, how are you feeling, man? Because, you know, last time I saw you, we were chilling, watching Shang-Chi, doing the things we enjoy, along with your brother, watching Marvel. You know what I mean? Just obviously two guys, Londoners, Grenadian extent, love watching the Marvel stuff, just chilling. You know, obviously your son was able to, and the wife was able to accompany you at Britain's Got Talent. So how are you feeling just as Axel Blake before you become, because we now know you're on the cusp of becoming Axel Blake, winner of Britain's Got Talent, doors getting kicked down, a lot of opportunities going to be abound. But how does Axel Blake, the father and the man and the brother, feel at the moment? How are you feeling?
Good. What's most important to me is making sure that family is good. And I was really conscious thinking, you know, there's going to be some risks, but my partner understood. It was like, I know the journey. I know you're in a crazy zone that I don't understand. I'm here for you. And I really love her and appreciate that. So, the family's been good. My mum's one of the people, she's very skeptical. She's like, are you sure you want to go and risk attack? Are you sure? Because, you know, you're representing the family. And as soon as I won, my son, oh my God. Literally, I said to you,
That is what's up. No, that's great, man. No, just me. They're definitely, obviously, speaking for the comedy community and also the circuit that, you know, a lot of us, you know, both of us have played what's referred to as the Blackpool Urban Circuit and played in predominantly black rooms where, you know, mainstream media opportunities haven't always been abound for us. So for you to exist in and triumph in this space means a lot to all of us, you know, because, you know, it definitely shows the versatility of us as acts, and you've made our journey very relevant. And I always think it's an amazing skill to be able to perform with the level that you were performing at. And working clean, because obviously it can be quite a confining space to work on Britain's Got Talent. So
very hard. But thank you, Dan. I really appreciate that. It's funny, I haven't spoken to much comedians, and obviously you know how a comedian's mind works. Even some of the points you just said, it was like, oh yeah, thank you, babe. But because it was so hard.
You know, just I can imagine. Yeah, but you played it off well, bro. I watched that set, man, and I definitely really enjoyed it. And I'll tell you, even the point about cyclists, like just some of the for me, just to some of the more small nuanced stuff, just the way you use the microphone in terms of like creating the sound and stuff as well. Like it's really definitely perform, man. And it was like watching someone with all of the energy of a newcomer, but with all the skill of a veteran. And I hope you're as proud of it as we are of you. So
thank you. No, it's literally the phrase "big up yourself" applies massively in this scenario.
If big up was a person,
this is what we're talking.
Thanks, Howard.
But you know what? It's probably time for a question, isn't it, Dane? As the format of this show dictates.
Absolutely. So, Axel, as our very esteemed guest, we'd like you to ask a question. It can be any question. One that's keeping you up at night. One that you think of on the way to work. One of them you're sitting outside these offices with all these new deals. God, can be any question you want, which we'd like to discuss for about 15 minutes or some change. Then my producer friend Howard here would like to pose you a question that we discuss for 15 minutes. And then keeping it consistent, I'd like to pose you a question we discuss for 15 minutes. And then we'd like for you to tell our listeners where they can find out about your good works, upcoming tour, and all the good things you're going to be doing past, present, and future. That's good with you?
Wicked. I'm ready.
Cool, cool. The floor is yours, sir, to ask the first question.
Well, this question has been pondering in the back of my mind. If I don't know if it's a worth 15 minutes, but we'll see. So the insect butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's wrong with Howard Wood?
I'm just like, okay, good, right, yeah.
Sounds good already.
Locked in.
I have always been wondering why it's called butterfly. Why it doesn't make sense, butterfly. That it just doesn't, I don't know, correlate. But someone has. Do you think it was originally, because someone said this, what it used to be called was called flutterby. Yeah. But do you think, there was a mix up or sub exchange, but do you think it used to be called flutterby and then you just turned the F and the B round and called it butterfly instead of flutterby?
Yeah. I think it's a good question. And you know, it's questions like this, Axel. Yeah, this is what we say, what we love about this podcast. No question is too big or too small, asinine. Like, this is a kind of question. This is a perfect example. This is what I'm saying, but this shows you, this is a perfect example of a comedian and having the courage to ask a question that most adults would be like, they would think about it hard, but they wouldn't want to say it.
They would,
So, characters of style, flutterby. Howard,
do you want the answer? Because I'll just give you, we can definitely talk around this for a bit.
I think we should discuss it first and then we'll get to the answer because I wasn't even aware that it was originally called a flutterby, but that makes sense because, like, you know, it's kind of an onomatopoeia because that's what they do in it. They kind of flutter more than buzz around. So they fly, and they fly by, literally.
And we all like butterflies, right? Butterflies are popular. Like, that's a popular insect, if it is an insect.
It's a popular insect. It's a very nice tattoo to go on strippers' butts.
And compared to moths, nice. Moths are... I don't like moths. I've always had a bit of like...
The butterflies from South London, isn't it? Yeah. They are just ruthless.
Moths are too...
Man's got the letter in his room,
moths are just like, you got 50p, Pacing. Mate. You got 50p.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's more like butterflies are like elves and then like moths are like hawks.
Yes.
Like, they've almost been twisted by the power to ring the poor guys. Mm-hmm. Hold on. So, but moths, because obviously a butterfly comes from the metamorphosis of a caterpillar, right?
Right.
What are moths before? Moths, caterpillars as well?
Well, let's do the first thing first, which is why are butterflies called butterflies, right? Do we want this? We want the actual answer, yeah?
Do we want it now? Because
we're going to be able to move on to moths and all things related to this day. Yeah. So I'll just give you what it basically, there's not just one possibility, according to this article by this biologist here. It's apparently butterflies are named for the colour of their shit. The term butter shit, which literally means butter shit, is apparently the reason that this has all happened. And I could probably find more information on that. But
this is wild because I've never seen butterfly shit in my entire
life.
Apparently so.
It's got it named for it. Dutch scientists were studying butterflies and they took a look at their poop, which is officially called frass. They noticed that the droppings looked a lot like butter. So if you see some butterfly, take a look at its shit. You can easily spread it on a crumpet or something like that, I imagine.
Thanks, Howard. Yeah, maybe not a crumpet, because the crumpet's got the little holes in it. So I imagine that would be a butterfly still drop through, yeah?
But that is...
Someone thinking on the same lens there, Axel, just logically, do you know what I mean? It's just, I feel you on that.
But moths.
Moths.
I do.
But moths,
very different people, moths. Just to let you know the difference between moths and butterflies, which I've just... It's to do with how they hold their wings. Butterflies tend to fold their wings vertically up over their back. So they're like over like that. Whereas moths... Whereas moths tend to hold their wings in like a tent-like thing and go by their abdomen. So moths are more like that.
Hiding the thing in it.
Obviously
hiding it in the waistband. Fair enough.
You get a massive moths at night. That's why moths are dicks, right? Because they turn up at night and they're like buzzing by the lights and stuff.
Just nocturnal. Like, we can't all, that's what it is. I guess the butterflies in the daytime, whereas when it's time for like the night, the moths come out. Mm. So are moths caterpillars before they... Do they have a chrysalis and a metamorphosis as well?
Yeah, give me a sec.
Because we're trying to find this stuff out. Because it's a really good question. Because, on the same lines as well, Axel, it's like... Butterflies are a strange one.
They are, by the way. They are. Caterpillars. They do come from caterpillars, moths. So I don't know what's going on there.
Interesting.
They're
really cousins.
Yeah,
they're really cousins. Different type of caterpillar, I guess.
Moody. Moody
the way
butterflies.
Moths look, you think they came from like millipedes or centipedes. It's so much more menacing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Howard. So then...
I can't stand any of these creatures, by the way. If I'm looking uncomfortable, it's because I can't stand... I've got a real insect problem.
Serious? All of them?
I tell you what, I had this moment last week where I was in the garden with my wife and child. And I said to my wife that I think I should call the council because there's too many flies in my garden. And... Dane's reaction means he understands the way my wife looked at me. There's just too many flies now. It's getting on my nerves now. I can't even sit on the, I've got the lounger chair. Yeah. I want to lie back. I don't want these things. Can we get rid of them? But the council aren't going to help.
You need a huge net.
Yeah, you get a fly net. But Howard, you don't want to get rid of them. If you live somewhere where insects can't live, it's probably not safe for human beings.
Yeah.
There was a time where, like, if you saw, like, a caterpillar in your lettuce, it was, like, disgusting. Whereas now, it's like, at least now it's not GM modified.
Yeah, it's good news,
That's how weird things are nowadays.
Yeah,
I think a flutterby makes sense. That made a lot more sense because it was, like, the action. But, there is some weird names you get with, like, animals that don't really describe their nature very well. Or just other things, like I was saying, grapefruit. How do they come up with that name?
Very true. Very true.
Because it's a citrus fruit, number one, and nothing at all like a grape.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, could I not get my own name instead of being named after a much nicer fruit?
Yeah.
Because imagine if you introduce it to like an alien, you're like, these are grapes. And they're like, these are decent. Some of these are Yeah. Some of them are seedless, and yeah, that's all right. And this makes wine. And you're like, oh, it makes wine. That's all good. And then grapefruit comes along. You're like, so this is like a bigger version of. Yeah. No. This planet is twisted. There's something wrong with you people.
Zap.
Exactly. Zap.
Are you scared of any? Have you got any issues with bugs, like insects and stuff, Axel? Or you don't care?
I do. But not the way you sound.
Yeah, to tell the authorities, get rid of them. They're squatting.
I do. It's just, I think what I end up like is the speed. It seems like, so, okay, I'll tell you, my big one is rats. I cannot stand rats. But I think what it is the speed. They move so quickly. Not that I've seen many, but I just, from what I've seen, if they're slow and they're just like, oh, there's a rat, okay, cool. But when they're just like, you just see them go between the chair, it sounds like I've got them in my house, but I don't. Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, there's no scene where it's just like, they move quick, just like a horror movie. Where it's like, hello?
They play it, the scuffling.
Yes, that.
That sound.
I don't like that. But yeah, insects, I can't, because I did think to myself, if someone ever asked me to go and I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And it's not happening. It's not happening. Mm. Everyone will stop because I'm not doing any challenges.
Eat your leg if you're that hungry.
It's not happening.
But eat your leg, do some sore business.
It's not happening. And I'll go back into the camp like, say where you are.
I already hear them offering you it, Axel. They're already calling. They're get ready.
If you're that hungry, you can go yourself, you know.
I'm on it.
I could never do that. I mean, that. Oh my God, what they do on that show for what? What reason? It's not like you're saving children. It's not like this school's on fire, so you've got to eat a bug. It's like, you know, there's nothing.
But Howard, are you saying, so if you could wave a wand and get rid of all insects, including butterflies, would you be happy with that?
Flutterbys.
Yeah. Or flutterbys, well, even. Because I feel like that's a much nicer name.
What you're proposing there is clearly a problem in regards to civilization and how it will crumble even more than it already is if I decide that my summer days are being ruined by flies. So I'm not going to do that.
No, but I get it, though, because like flutterbys, they're pretty cool. There are some attractive moths that I've seen, nice moths. But then there's also a moth which is like that. Remember the poster for Silence of the Lambs? That was a moth, and I was like, that doesn't seem okay. Because a lot of moths have adapted. They've got like big eyes and stuff, haven't they? Like tiger moths, just to keep away predators. And there's big fuzzy antenna. And also ladybirds. And I wonder with ladybirds, or ladybugs as they're called, have they always just been advanced when it comes to gender being fluid in that community? Because I suppose if you're a male and you're called a ladybug, is there no identity crisis you may have, or they just keep it moving?
I don't know. We've checked Reddit or something. They're probably posting about it on Reddit, aren't they?
And you get those ones doing the inverse colour. So they're okay. Ladybirds are cool. Flutterbys are cool.
And it's always nice. We always see a little ladybug and you're
that's right.
Instead of a spider, it's a spider. You're just like, get the fucking thing off
me. But technically, spiders aren't insects. That's the thing. They're arachnids because they've got eight legs. So insects have six. But then I feel like I'm fine with those ones. And ants, I'm cool with ants. Ants are cool. Cockroaches.
Oh, no.
This is what I'm saying.
No.
Any of these things that I don't know. When I see a dog, a cat, a pig, a cow, a horse, do you know what? A goat. I want to stroke that animal. I don't want to stroke anything that I don't want to stroke or go, that it can fuck off.
Yeah. But the thing is, but then people say that rats make good pets because they're quite intelligent. And the thing, see, I'm with Axel, like, for me, the word pet rat is an oxymoron, as far as I'm concerned. I don't understand how, but I've seen people like on social media where they pretend to collapse and the rat checks inquires onto their welfare and stuff. And I'm like, nah, he's just waiting to eat you. That's what that is.
Yeah.
He's just waiting to see if those eyes have just left, the life has left them so he can start chewing on them. I don't know. I think a large amount of it, though, is how all of these animals and insects are presented, is particularly in films and stuff, like, you know, butterflies always shown as being very nice and tranquil.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, cockroaches, you only see those when something bad's happening.
Exactly.
And, you know, stands to reason. But then the cockroaches, the thing about cockroaches is that aren't they like the most resilient organism? They can survive a nuclear war. This is what I heard about cockroaches that scares me, yeah? Cockroaches can survive for up to 2 weeks without a head.
Wow.
See? And the only reason they die is from starvation, because they can't obviously feed because there's no head to put the food in.
Wow.
Like, that is Like, and also, when you step on them, you have to put bleach down, yeah? Because when you step on them, they lay eggs.
I don't want to hear this is too much.
Serious.
Here. I don't want any more.
Yeah. So when you step on them, they lay eggs straight away at the back, and then that's how they're able to continue to reproduce. That's how resilient they are as people. And that's what kind of worries me is that, like, you know, within that circle, because I think I saw Amber saying, like, the other thing about insects is that they don't really have any other link to any other species on the planet. They're their own thing. Mm. So they're almost like the closest to aliens.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up that we have movies. On this planet. They're very similar to the alien movies.
Because they can survive crazy pressures. Like, you know, you get like, because obviously insects can survive the depths of water and stuff because they haven't got any bones in it. They've just got fluid sacs and stuff. Yeah, it's because even the fact that a flutterby is originally a caterpillar, like, I'm not sure how I feel about all caterpillars, to be honest.
No.
They seem to be, for the most part, they're okay. But, they also turn into moths.
Yeah. Don't you think it's crazy how there's a lot of mammals and all sorts of creatures that was here way before us? Then we've come along and literally dominated everyone, everything. I don't know how you lot see that, but sometimes I think just come along, yeah? And just, we've got, you know, different chromosomes to everyone else. And we've just come and just taken...
Done medicines.
Oh, what?
I think so, but I think sometimes insects, that they're the ones that, like, keep us in check. Because we can't see how they move and they do certain things. Like mosquitoes. Mosquitoes keep human beings in check. We've not worked out how to deal with those.
Yeah, it's true. And, well, yeah, I told you I was going to call the council, but my wife told me not to. She said they won't help. So.
Yeah, but we've come along, but we, like, even flies, like maggots are used to clean wounds.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation where I've needed that happen, but I read that and people always go, you know, maggots are used to clean wounds. And I'm like, if I ever go somewhere and they go, Dane, we're just going to use some maggots, I'd be like, can you get... Yeah. Give me a real fucking doctor. What's going on here, bruv? Maggots, you're going to let flies lay eggs in my... No way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That was a very good question. It was a small question that grew like a caterpillar into a butterfly of many questions and conversations. So thank you, Axel. Well,
just like the wonderful book.
I'm going to talk about something different and arguably, I don't know if it's obvious or not, but, you know, my question is going to be linked to what an entertaining week you must have had here, Axel. I think about the fact that, like, spent a lot of time with this man, Dane Baptiste. As you know, Dane has had and has a number of successes in his life.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to say that in my career in TV, I've had a few successes as well. Fucking TV show happening seems to be a miracle. So, you know, some of them have happened. That's a success. And this week, you know, you had a wonderful success, mate. And I Dane said it and I'll say it. Couldn't be happier. Like, a beautiful situation, mate. And I just wanted to know from both of you and for people at home who might listen to this and wonder what it's like. How do you deal with success? Because I think that is a defining characteristic of attaining more, is my theory.
My mind's racing already. This question was to me. Okay.
Yeah, and Dane will jump in at some point. But yeah, how you finding it?
Well, what I've realized, first of all, is success looks different to each and every one of us. So what I see success as is different to what you or Dane or anyone else may see. So example, I remember when I first started, my dream goal was to perform at Hackney Empire. I didn't see anything else. I wanted to perform at Hackney Empire, and I achieved that. Yeah. But what tends to happen to us humans with goals and aspirations is you move the goalpost further. But to some people, their dream now to this day is I want to perform at Hackney Empire, and that's their success. But so it changes depending on, you can't define what success is. Because I don't feel like I'm successful yet, because I suppose mentally I keep moving the goalposts. Yeah. So that's one thing. What does success look like? Because to you or to me, it's in different places. Secondly, I feel like I need to be grounded and humble, and I don't know what's coming. There's a lot of things coming, and a lot of calls, and a lot of. It's crazy on my side right now, but I just want to be able to be like, keep yourself safe. Keep your mental health safe and make sure you don't kind of throw into a world where you can't kind of come back in a weird way. Because I want to make sure that family is most important to me. And I need to make sure that that doesn't crumble, or that doesn't, my daughter's like, you're never here. You know, even though I'm chasing my dreams, my new dreams, my new goalpost dream, I just need to make sure that family's okay and we are happy as one. Yeah, there might be money there, or there might be a TV there, or whatever. But the bottom line for me is making sure family is good and we are happy as a family. Not like, yeah, it was so successful, so amazing. But when you get home, it's like, this is absolutely rubbish. So yeah, I suppose my success, I suppose, deep down is making sure my family's happy. We are in a good, happy, because that's my main hub. That's where I go back to. All the glitz and glamour can go tomorrow, but my family, that's why I hope so, are there with me for life. So that is what I need and I strive for. That's my success.
I mean, hearing that, Dane, I think our friend here is going to be all right, because
give me perspective. Yeah. Give me perspective already. It's a short thing, man. I totally get it, man, because I think especially we kind of originated on a very similar circuit. And it's a great circuit because it definitely teaches you a lot of elements of showmanship, and you have to kind of grasp comedy very quickly, very early on.
Yeah.
Because obviously for me, like, one of my experiences when I first started doing comedy is I was weaned on, like, you know, seeing Richard Blackwood growing up and, you know, The Real McCoy. And then, as you said, you know, you hear about shows like Hackney Empire and Blue Mountain Theatre doing stuff. And, you know, if you were plugged into that subgenre of comedy, the scene and what we refer to as the Black and Urban circuit, there was a limited number of kind of prestigious venues.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still a limited number of prestigious shows and acts that, you know, when you look at it reflective, it's kind of like you can be thrust into that very quickly before you even get a chance to, like, catch yourself. And like I said, to me, Hackney Empire, that was a dream, innit? And then all of a sudden you're there, you know, alongside people that you grew up watching when you was younger, or exactly, people told you about when you was younger. And I remember hearing about Slim when I just even was asking about comedy, and people telling me how amazing he was, and obviously Richard Blackwood, and, you know, the Curtis Walkers, and hearing people like Felicity Ethnic, and then to be alongside them in the green room, you're just like,
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or even for me, like, it's having your own TV show, innit? That's like something you dream about as a kid. But then it happened, and I kind of was like, it's cool, but I want to make sure I'm doing this and stuff. But then, especially with the lockdown, it helped me to reflect and be like, how many people go through life getting to say they had their own TV show?
Yeah.
So, but then as you say, it's like, once you arrive at that pinnacle, you're like, oh, well, now I want to do something more. And it's not that you're necessarily ungrateful for it, but like you said, now that level of success is there, success looks different because that's what we learn. I guess it's a cliche thing that people say, that it's a journey, not a destination, isn't it? Because you think, if I arrive here, I'm going to feel like I've done something and I feel cool. But then it's like, part of that good feeling and that reward is the motivation to know that you can achieve more, or you at least can try to achieve more. It's not that you.
Always think Apollo, for you fucking comedians, Apollo becomes this thing, right? I find that Apollo thing kind of hilarious, because I remember being like, I've known you a long time, Dane. I was so chuffed. I was like, wow, look at Dane up there smashing it at the Apollo first. I know you've done it a couple of times, but the first time you did it, I was like, boy, look at that. That's guys smashing it. And, you know, the reality is, obviously, it's just one moment, I suppose. It's complicated business.
But like I said, success is subjective to other people watching it. They're like, oh my goodness. Like, and so you don't want to kind of reduce the experience in that respect. But for me, why I appreciate doing Live the Apollo now as opposed to then has probably changed. So for me, it's like, back then it was like, I got to be on the stage at the Apollo and you're performing there. But now it's
what
like,
I'm looking out for. I'm like, I can't wait.
So yeah, yeah, it's coming. But it's one of these things where, and it's definitely coming for you, Axel. It's one of these things where, whereas I look back at it now and it's like, I just like the idea that I got to do a good gig and just do my bars and just actually perform good stagecraft and that and just have a nice performance. And that really overrides the whole venue thing. But I think it's such a really important thing you said in terms of like successes, like your family and stuff like that as well. Because while I might be able to find myself in new rooms with new opportunities, like what bothers you is that like your daughter says, I can't see you all the time.
Yeah.
And that stands out more than everything else. And I think that's really important to understand that it's what makes Axel the human being and the person and the father and the husband. And, you know, and the son,
yeah,
that is a large part of what forms your core of happiness.
Because, it's been very interesting to listen to you both. But I'm gonna go in on this, right? Like,
go on.
My take is this: that in the end, you know, we are all distracted by the next thing. Like, we are very rarely able to focus on the here and now. And in most industries, that comes down to money, really. Like, you will look at people who work in different industries and they'll be like, oh yeah, we made this much, I got this pay rise, I got this. It's just that's that, because there's not the same creative ownership that, and obviously there are some people who are absolutely fascinated by what they do for a living, but for most people there's just like a financial drive to it. But obviously in the creative world, you know, you guys shape these jokes, you shape your material, and for it to have monetary value that kind of pay, you know, it's a remarkable thing that it's not that tangible. Like it's quite difficult. You know, Dane and me could sit and talk about an idea, and the idea that you know, a TV idea, and it turns into £1 million. It's difficult to marry those things, which is why we end up, I think, so fucking, our brains like are so, it's not an easy thing to wrap your head around, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And once one thing happens that works,
yeah,
you think, well, I should just do that again, right? Well, no, because that's actually the danger is that you just, you know, can't do it again as well.
Yeah.
It's such a challenge.
Or you become used to it. Like, obviously, when you introduce money into your life, especially as a creative, like, I mean, it's a tool that everyone needs, whatever. But then I guess it gets to the point whereby if you get used to a certain amount of income, money alone is no longer the motivator.
Yeah,
of course.
And you might want to look, and you want more of an aspect of control kind of thing. So I think obviously for many people, and that's the thing as well, is that obviously I think when you're creative, money is a nice byproduct of people validating and recognizing what talent you have.
Oof.
Whereas I think that's been a problem in our industry in general, is that we've had our, as creators and performing artists, that kind of role has been co-opted by people with more corporate interests. So obviously when you see, and what I mean by that is that, you know, when you were successful as an artist or you was good, like money came with that because you had a talent and people recognized it.
Yeah.
And so it was part of it, but it's more about I should get what I deserve. So in terms of the fact that it's not about I just want to be rich, it's that if this, what I'm doing, generates wealth, then obviously as the creator of that, I should get the wealth, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to now there are people that just make stuff just because it pays.
Yeah.
And I think once you start making stuff just because it pays, well, then you just got a regular job.
Yes.
And I think you can get very numb to that after a while and just be like, obviously it's nice to have money, but then you get to the point where I'm like, well, I could get this kind of money doing a 9-to-5, but that's not what I'm in it for. Because if it's just, because with the 9-to-5, you know, you're getting a guaranteed check and then you can leave at a certain time. Whereas it's bigger than money for us. And I think sometimes as well. So, and I think a large part of the confusion comes from the fact that people use money as the biggest indicator of success.
Well, of course, because the thing that I come back to again and again, and I have this in my weekly life, right? Where like, you know, if you do the job I do, you basically send out ideas to, you know, different people and wait for them to say yes or no. And maybe at some point you get to make some TV shows, you know. But, you know, it can be quite depressing when someone says you put a lot of work into an idea and then they're just like, no, don't want that. But the thing that I keep in my head to keep me going, which keeps me, I guess, a reasonably decent person to work with, is that I still can't believe that I get to do this, really. Like, I just don't. It seems like a piss take. Like, the world is on its knees, and I'm sitting here going, like, right, I need to order 4 onesies for this shoot that I'm doing in 3 days. You know, like, it's kind of such an absurd world that you if you lose sight of the fact that it should still be something that brings you joy. But obviously there's times where it won't bring you joy because it's a ball ache or there's a pain or, oh, this thing's gone wrong or whatever it is. But it still has to come from a place of joy. And I think if you can have a world of work where it comes from a place of joy, then you should just be along for the ride, man. Fucking
hell. Yeah. But it's like raising kids, don't it? Like, obviously, it's supposed to be joyful and your children reflect on yourself, but you'd be hard pressed as a parent to be like, you enjoy every single aspect of that experience. Because, you know, as much as you love a child, like, you know, seeing your child sick, that's painful and that's a ball ache and that can be stressful, especially where you can't necessarily help them directly. But I think creativity, and again, I can only have one part of this experience, but creativity and having children, the similarity is obviously you've created something from a basis of love of joy, like Howard said. And I think a lot of the time, you know, you're trying to imprint your best self on your art or your best self on your children, because these are the things that will represent you when material things no longer exist, because, you know, you can't take the money with you. And I always say, like, you know, I don't know how much money Bob Marley had when he died. He may have been very rich, he may have been very poor, but when I discuss somebody like that, his money is not what is really brought up.
It's all like,
I don't know how much Tupac had, but that's not the thing we discuss about when I talk about someone like Tupac, if that makes sense.
Well said, mate. And concludes this question perfectly. And I feel like we understand a bit more about that weird thing that is success. And we hope you have lots and lots in these coming months and years, Axel.
Keep the joy.
Keep the joy. I'm sure of it. And with that being said, I now have the final question for Axel. Axel, as we said, what you've achieved in the last week or so has been monumental. Obviously, like, this has been part of a continued drive of success for comics like ourselves. Kojo been on there previously, Nabil Abdul Rashid was on there, Delisa Chimbunda. So, you know, I think you've taken it up another level in terms of improving the perception of Black British comedy in general and Black British comedians and just comedy in general. I think that by winning Britain's Got Talent, you've done a great service to stand-up comedy in itself, where there's a lot of people that don't have an understanding of it. And I think by winning, you've shown just how effective it is as an art form.
Thank you.
Like, it may not seem like all of that now, but for someone that knows where you've come from, and seeing what you've been able to do on a platform and in the space that you've done it, it's a big thing. It's a very big thing. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of people that have who know you and have an idea of your background, and seeing that you can do something like that, that is massively inspirational.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think we're going to go to, obviously, you are going to potentially be doing the Royal Variety performance as well very soon.
Yeah.
And basically, I want to say, obviously, that's it. I know where you come from. And without being too presumptive, obviously, I know you're about kind of what you're into. So my question is, Axel, if you could sort the lineup for the Royal Variety performance with Axe, including yourself, so you're headlining. Actually, no, I think you're hosting. So you're going to be hosting the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you get to pick, we'll say, six acts.
Yeah.
Can be living or dead, anybody you want that you think would help put together the best Royal Variety performance. Who would those people be and why?
Big question.
Six acts. Okay. Yeah.
So, or you could do five, whatever you prefer. It's your show, baby.
I would say Bernie Mac.
Nice.
Nice one.
I absolutely love Bernie Mac, the late great.
Is Bernie Mac opening the show?
No way is Bernie Mac opening the show. Bernie Mac's closing the show. I'm not sure the Queen's going to get her his comedy, but it's what it is.
That's fine.
It'll chuckle here and there. It's a variety show, so I need to... Bob Marley. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Bob Marley.
Great choice. Full band with the Wailers as well,
Full band.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And when he performs, the roof, so it's like it's an outside field. Even though it's in a horn, but it's big palm trees, little mosquitoes for Howard and that.
Well, I suppose you've got a comedian and a musician now. What? I don't know.
This is what I'm thinking. My world's quite small. Like, comedy, music, but I'm thinking.
It's all good. Listen,
let me stick.
It's your choice.
And I would also have Tony Hawk. The reason being, I don't know why. I used to love playing music.
You know why. You know why.
I know you're saying that. I used to love playing these gamers. I don't know why, but from a kid, I always wanted to meet him. No idea why, because I'm not a scared boy. I just remember playing that for hours.
That game was a big game.
That's reason enough. And Tony Hawk is a massively talented skater and inspirational guy, man. Like, he was doing it deep into his days and stuff, man. Like, Tony Hawk is a big deal. Yeah. He's a big deal. And you can have all the half pipes and the ramps all up in the place. Nice.
Going right up to the Queen's that bump. Now, Will Smith, I'll have him there.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
No problems with that.
No problems with that.
What's Will Smith doing on stage?
Will Smith is not coming up to slap me. He's coming up. He's what? Yeah, what is he doing?
Probably getting jiggy with it, I'd imagine. Would go down very well.
Yeah. He's doing a dance routine.
We're
doing a classic one. Me, him, doing the, we call it the Cartman dance. But
Cartman dance, yeah, yeah.
Tom Jones.
Medley.
Yeah,
doing medley.
Jump on it.
Yeah, great, nice.
That's a different energy to Bob Marley as well.
Very different
energy.
That's it. Keeping it a variety, but keeping it royal. That's what's up.
And lastly,
I think we need, maybe I'm just going to suggest, just, you know, for the listeners, that I think maybe a female performer. Have we had a female performer yet? I think we need to kind of get a, you know, mix it up a little.
Yes, agreed. You know, just coming to the Howard Banks, mate.
Saving the best for last. Exactly. Howard,
our headline exactly. act, yeah.
You know. Spot on.
It's funny, these questions, though, right? I tell you what, these questions are interesting because I do think often there is a desire to bring people back from the dead. I think that's quite a natural desire, right?
I don't know why that is, but because it's like you miss them. It's like, you were so talented, you're so amazing. I'd love to see your talent again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a bit stuck, Howard.
Well, I was about to say the person I've been thinking about this person a lot recently is the version of Aretha Franklin that we lived through she lived for a very long time, but what she was in her prime when she was young was a fucking, I mean, she I don't know if she ever did a role. I mean, who knows what Aretha Franklin did in her life? She did so many things. But you can look at someone like her and think she'd close your show out really nicely, mate.
I'd say, she would as well. Meghan Markle.
Nice. Just do monologues.
Just to get me in. Yeah, monologue and get me in the back gate of the, Buckingham Palace. If she's allowed in, she's probably not allowed in. But, you know, there's a few questions I've got for the Queen.
I got this image of like Megan giving you like a leg up in it over the fence.
Hurry up, Axel, man.
Gonna get back to my kids.
That'll be my team.
That's good. It's a good lineup.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, normally I think people don't really care who's in the audience today when you're doing your stuff, but like, it's going to be quite a noticeable person in the audience, isn't it, really?
Yeah. You got Will Smith there, Meghan Markle there, you got Bob Marley there, Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
I think the merch is going to sell like no one's business for a start, boy. Definitely got to stream that show as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, you said Bernie Mac is headlining, but where other place were the other acts going?
They're going to have to argue over it.
To be fair, actually, I'm going to move Bob Marley headlining. Yeah.
Close out with a musical number.
Yeah, we'll close the show well. It's musical.
Yeah,
Bernie Mac will be before Bob Marley.
Nice.
Meghan Markle will open the show.
Yep.
Will Smith will be just before the break, and Tony will be in the break.
There you go. All right, that's nice. Do all the skills in that. I like it.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a great show. I think that'll make for a good jubilee. The Axel jubilee sounds like it's going to be popping to me, boy.
100%, mate.
I'm with 100% of the way. Any idea of a venue you'd go for? Good choice.
London Palace. Windsor Castle.
Nice. I think, Tony Hawk doing the madness through the castle grounds. I'm there for that all day.
I'm there for that.
100%. I like that a lot. What would you have Megan doing?
She'll be doing a speech, like a monologue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just go for
just
it, girl.
Just basically giving the tea.
Yeah, giving the tea. But doing it in, you know, that program she was in Suits, you know? Go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it.
I think she'd be great, boy. I think Megan will be very talented. You know, she knows how to show out, as she did for her own wedding.
Yeah.
I think it's a tough booking, though. It's a tough booking. I'm not sure. I don't know how that's going to go down, but...
I know, but there'll be... Once Bob Marley gets the stage and Bernie Max, you know, he lowers the people's barriers and they're not tense.
Okay.
I feel like we'd have enough ticket sales just from, like, Americans coming to watch it as well. Tourism. That's, you know, we always said about the royal family, the money they generate for tourism. I think if you got Meghan Markle, Bernie Mac, Bob Marley and the Wailers and, you know, Tony Hawk, that's going to sell off.
Yeah.
Sell off.
You're going to do Coachella numbers.
Yeah. Crazy. I'd love to know. I don't know if we've got time, but you, I'd love to know you lots, but I don't. I'm sure. Am I pushing it?
No, at all, man. It's good. It's good to know. Howard, do you feel about this?
I mean, the pair of you, obviously, you guys can have slots. You know, I'm happy. I'll be happy to have that. And nice. I'd also, I don't know, it's tough. I mean, I never, you know, not, I mean, I'm well, sure it's
I'm sure Bob Dylan for a start.
Bob Dylan would,
be good
obviously
for,
right? turn up. But the, I mean, I would say it's, you know, I never really watch it, the Royal Variety performance. So, but I will this year. I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag. You get a lot, you get music, you get.
Good people do it. Judy Love do it before as well.
Right.
Oh, yes.
So Judy Love's come through as well. So, yeah.
Inicio done it as well.
Yeah. So it's all good. I definitely want to have some kind of Motown element.
Okay.
I think if you have a big variety performance, you can't go wrong with that. So how would I do it, though? I feel like I'd want to do like a medley. So it'd be like the Motown roster. But then I had this idea, actually, yeah? Follow me on this one, yeah?
Okay.
I call it Death Row Town, yeah?
Oh, wow.
Where basically you've got all of the top artists from like Death Row. So you'd had like Dre and Snoop and Tupac, and they're performing alongside Stevie Wonder and the Jacksons. And we call it Death Row Town. And it's just an anthology of amazing African-American music, spitting on different beats and stuff like that as well. Like imagine Tupac and Stevie Wonder on the same track. Nate Dogg and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. You know, that could work. But you know, you've got that Samsung's got singer, and then in the middle, they got, yo, and they got the rap.
There you go, little rap in the middle, yeah. Because kind of do the whole thing that like Lil Puffy did. So I think, yeah, Death Row Town would be my little combination there.
Nice.
Would be, and maybe I'd have them close the show. I would have Magic. I think Magic goes well at a variety show. And there's a magician I know called Richard Essien. I think you know Bones, right? You've worked with Bones before, probably. You've seen him before. And he did Resident Hunter a little while back, and he did a crazy trick where he basically did like, it was almost like he was in like in a safe or something, and then he appeared at the safe, and then they took off the hoodie, and it was and then the assistant was on the stage. And he was standing next to Simon Cowell. And it was crazy. So I definitely have a magician in there doing all the crazy stuff there. I think you have a magician. I think I like what you said about the acrobatics, like with Tony Hawk and stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I need to have an equivalent of that.
See, it's hard to think, isn't it? It's just like, whoa, your mind just
got. It's got to be a variety, but it's got to be of a royal level. So
tough.
Maybe I'd have...
How about Simone Biles?
Yeah, that's a great choice, Howard. Yeah, Simone Biles I'd go for.
Yeah.
Full sequins and stuff. She just have the whole... And she could just do the whole floor apparatus and stuff like that as well. So that's a great choice, Howard. I'd want to have maybe... Do you know what? Just for something mad, I'd bring back one of the Queen's old relatives, like, now, Elizabeth Regina. We are your loyal servants. But we would necessarily forget... You was only the second Elizabeth. And now, welcome in. Henry the Eighth, he's back. And walks out. Where you at, ladies? Ladies, where you at? Oh my God, I want to be number 47. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Ladies going crazy for Henry the Eighth. I just think, just bring out old relative as well. Just doing a little thing. And then finally, Howard, as well, in the spirit of posthumous legends of British history, Shakespeare. Just bring him out. Quick soliloquy. Like, I'm just thinking, just comes up with a quick soliloquy, the original bard, the spin. And then who comes on stage with him? Tupac. And that's how we bring the whole thing to an end, but right. It's crazy. Crazy.
Well, it's something to look forward to. It won't happen, but...
Maybe one of these happen. I think maybe. Axel's is more likely because he's going to be doing the performance. So he's probably more likely to be able to pull these strings. But
we'll see.
You know,
see how it works.
If they ever ask you to do the whole thing, then holler at me and I'm happy to help you consult Axel. Yeah. So.
It's been a good episode, Dane, and a bit of a celebratory feel to it for what's happened this week to our guest, eh?
Absolutely. Man is man, but we have no problem giving you your flowers, Axel, as they are well deserved. Congratulations again. Say how proud we are all of you. But if you could, other than Britain's Got Talent, could you please tell our listeners where they can find out about your good works, past, present and future?
Past, I performed at O2 Indigo. It was on Amazon, but it was on for a lease, and that lease is done. Present, I just announced my tour. Some dates have sold out already.
Go check that out, y'all, before it sells out. We're selling our first.
In the future, I don't know. I'm taking every stride as it comes. In the future, you will see much more of me. All I can say is just follow my social media, Axel Blake. That's on Instagram and TikTok. That's where I'm most common on. And you'll see everything there. Everything.
There you go. Comedy clips keep coming, guys. And check out dates for Axel's tour, which I'll be honest with you, Axel, you're going to have to extend.
So,
get your tickets while you can, guys, because Axel's going to be going on a big tour and it's definitely worth seeing. If you enjoy the performance on the final Britain's Got Talent, it's only going to get better on the tour. So please do check that out. And Axel, again, big up yourself, bro. Congratulations. And thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you, Dane.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste and myself, Howard Cohen. Our guest was Axel Blake. You can follow Axel on Instagram, at Axel Blake. For more from Dane and myself, make sure you follow us on Instagram, at Dane Snaptiste, and at The Howard Cohen. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a question for Dane, make sure you send us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a DM on Instagram at @dbqepodcast. And we could feature you in our next episode. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, question everything.
Insanity Group.